Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Joshua Hayashi has always been around the church. It's in many ways sort of like the family business. His father was ordained with the PCUSA. He has a brother who leads a congregation in Seattle, three cousins who are ministers, and six uncles who are either ministers or missionaries. His wife also comes from a family of ministers. She's a fourth-generation pastor's wife. Now, what does God do with a man who has this kind of rich heritage? Well, that's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you, even in this, that the reason we have the Good Life program is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friend, to let you know, to remind you that there is always hope in Jesus, no matter what. No matter what you're facing, what you're going through, no matter how difficult something may be in your life at this very moment. Yeah, to remind you that Jesus loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins and mine and Joshua's. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash our sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, and the living Christ, dear one, is calling you to himself in the midst of the quagmire you may find yourself in right now. I ask, would you open your heart to Jesus? Would you come to him? Would you let him come and cleanse you and be the Lord of your life, the Lord and Savior of your life? For Joshua, during high school, a personal crisis brought him back to God. He found himself living with his grandparents in Los Angeles, separated from friends and family. The Lord met him in a personal way, both experientially and relationally. He'll share that with us today. Today, he's a chaplain at Punahou School. He's married to Charity. They have two children, Everett and Alethea. Josh, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. It's a pleasure to be here with you and with your everyone who's listening. You know, as you're even sharing my story and reading it, really brought back memories about how faithful God has been to me and to my family. And I remember being at this camp in the Sierra Nevadas with Gardena Valley Baptist, their church youth group, on a retreat. And in the snow up in the mountains, all by myself in a way, separated from my friends and my family here in Hawaii, I remember just praying and saying, God, I've heard about you my whole life. Heard all these wonderful things, and yet my life feels nothing like how I felt it should have been. My life at that point was full of pain and bitterness, you know, feeling angry at the church, feeling like the church was full of hypocrites, feeling like the church and myself and some of the people that I loved so much did not live like Jesus at all. And I remember being there and just praying and saying, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. And in that moment, I felt like something happened. And it was,
what
happened? Well, God met me. I remember in a way I was praying, God, show yourself to me. And during this retreat, and one of my youth leaders came around me and gave me a hug at just that right time and started praying for me. And I think what was so powerful, having grown up in the church, having grown up thinking about and hearing those experiences from other people, seeing my own dad preach, being at the dinner table when everyone talked about God all the time, I felt like I grew up in that tradition. But when my parents divorced, when we had to leave the church, when it felt like God was so far away. It felt like God didn't care about us anymore. And it felt like we were far from him for a variety of reasons. You know, was it sin, or it just felt like our whole lives had changed.
You see, we've got to pause there, because we don't often talk about these things. You know, you can look at a nice shiny car.
Yeah.
But when you open when you pop the hood, you get to look at the engine. Underneath, you get to see what's really there. We don't often talk about this because I think we like to just look at the shiny church. But what's really on the inside? So here's a pastor's son who's going through, you're explaining a heart-touching, heart-changing moment while you're in California. But what was going on that led to this point of disillusionment?
Totally. I'm really glad you're helping us see that. Sorry. You know, exactly what he said. When you grow up in the church, when you grow up as you're like the oldest son in seemingly the perfect family, when everyone looks at you and tells their kids you got to act like them, or you know you can't say certain things around that family, or you know you have to be extra nice because that's the pastor's kids, it creates a certain sense about you and these expectations. But the reality is, man, I struggle, and we struggled with trying to keep up with everyone's expectations of ourselves and as a family, as individuals. And at a certain point, because of the pressures of church politics and my parents' marriage, everything exploded. And that was really hard, because we, at the time, had like the perfect family. It even felt like that. It felt like, you know, it felt like everything seemed to be going super well. And then my parents never argued. You know, my parents, you know, appeared to have the perfect marriage on the outside. And then within just a few months, just everything came apart. And we never really talked about it. And so
we talked about where things were leading.
Yes.
Processing
the process of
life.
What happened. Yeah. And you know, we were young. I was 10. I was 9. My brother was 8, and my other brother was 7. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was the challenge, is that we didn't know how to process these feelings or even talk about it as a family, because we still felt that expectation that we needed to be a certain way in the public. And so that those expectations of people on us really kind of shaped what we thought about ourselves and what we thought people expected out of us, and what we needed to be like in front of everybody else.
When things began to... Well, maybe when the reality began to come out. Mm-hmm. I think of the word catharsis. I'm wondering if that was a little bit of what it felt like, or what the results were, where there's a cleansing, there's a release, because there's stuff that goes on in all of our lives that mm-hmm. we don't, you know, we hide this. Sometimes it could feel like we're like, there's leaks all over, and we're like poking our finger all through our, you know, to keep someone from seeing what's really there.
Yeah.
How did it affect you?
Well, it made me really disillusioned to God, and made me disillusioned to the church. And it made me really angry. It made me angry that we had, I felt like, you know, we had put on this, It felt angry for God for letting it happen. Because at the heart, I knew who God was. I knew that God loved us. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do with my whole life. But seeing everything kind of crumble, it made no sense to me intellectually. But it broke my heart emotionally. And it was, you know, through therapy and through time and through prayer, through God showing me his love in all these different ways, beginning at that moment in that retreat, I think what I began to see was that God was really with us throughout the darkest times. And I can tell you story after story of people of faith, and especially my own family members, who still model to us what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant to be a Christian leader, how to love, how to serve, how to obey God. And what's interesting today, you know, I have two brothers, so there's three of us. Out of the three of us, two of us are pastors, you know, even after that, all that stuff happened. And so I think the temptation is that we, as leaders, as Christian leaders, that we have to put on this image, and that we have to, we can't really share what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a part of that's we have to do that to love and care for our congregation and for the people that follow us. But I think it is healthy for us to share what we're struggling. And because what it really is about God, it's not about us. It's about God using our lives as His work in front of people to show His power, His graciousness, and His love, and His ability to turn things that seem so dark into something amazing.
It is said, Josh, that hindsight is 20/20, and it could be somewhat tormenting for certain people, myself, perhaps yourself included, to go down that path. But for a moment, if you will, when we come back, let's take a few steps down a path and sort of imagine if you had it to do it over again, or if you were to speak into the life of a family, maybe share with a pastor's wife, see their kids that may be going through, you see some of the same things, perfection. But you know from experience that deep down inside, there's stuff, because we are human beings and we're living life. And life is not perfect, even in a pastor's home. I mean, we're talking about authenticity here, getting down to the bare bones of what faith is really like. Mm-hmm. I believe God sent you here for a purpose. And I believe there will be healing, restoration, and hope as you share more from Joshua Hayashi, Heart to Heart with you, when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hear me, God.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Hey, like any family, you know, there are different opinions and ideas, even in a Christian family. And in the family of our guest today, you know, there's theological distinctions. There's a level of diversity. Remember, we're talking Mennonites, Presbyterians, United Church of Christ, even an aunt who was a Catholic nun.
Yep.
But he's blessed to have a deep faith in God and a willingness to serve the Lord at the same time. And that's why Joshua Hayashi is here. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. And I'm grateful that you're with us today, because I believe that what the Lord has to share with you through Joshua is going to build you up. And dear one, if you're listening and you want to find out more about what it means to be a Christian, to have a relationship with God, to put your faith in Jesus Christ, well, you're in for a real blessing. And you can find out more about our show at thegoodlifehawaii.com. So, Josh, a path down memory lane.
Yep.
It's maybe a rough path. Mm-hmm. But what would you say right now to a family, maybe pastor and his wife, and they've got kids, and they really, you look at them, everything looks just pristine. But you know from experience, and I know from experience, that Christian leadership is not always just perfection.
Yeah. And there's a lot of pressures on not just the leader. I mean, that's what we think a lot of times. It's all on him or on her, but really the whole family feels that pressure in so many different ways.
Why do we feel that? Why?
Well, you know, we sign up for it. You know, when we receive and we answer God's call, that sets us apart right off the bat. I was talking to a Catholic priest who's a friend of mine, and he says, you know, when he kind of asked me this question, he said, you know, you signed up for suffering when you answered God's call. That's, you just signed up, that's the job description, suffering, crucifixion, and resurrection. But that's just part of it. I mean, like every believer, but there's a special thing on that. And I think what I would say to that pastor and to his wife and to kids, take a break from ministry for a bit. Get recalibrated. Spend some time quiet, seeking the Lord. And really thinking about where are we at? You know, just, you know, sometimes we put the machine of ministry ahead of family. And I remember there's this quote by Mother Teresa that says, God has not called us to be effective, but to be faithful. And so I would suggest take a break, you know, a month. If that's possible, spend time together in prayer. Reestablish your relationships with each other. Let the pressures, because the church pressures can get so intense, especially if you're surrounded by people that have such high expectations of you all the time. Take a break. Spend some time with the Lord. Remember why you're doing it again. Because I think that's when things go wrong, is when we forget why. We forget who God is. We forget about the call. We forget about what does it mean to serve. And we forget that God has called us to be set apart, and that, and with that comes real challenges. But God's faithfulness. We're in some ways supposed to model to God's people what does it mean to suffer on behalf of them. And I think a lot of times when we go into the ministry, we expect it to be all crowds and adulation and people clapping and cheering. But it at the heart of it, it's not like that. Or that's not what it should be. And, you know, I mean, I'm saying this, but I struggle with this all the time, too. I mean, I don't like it when things are bad, and I don't like it when things are hard. And I feel like, you know, when things profession, because I'm a minister too, and I'm in front of people, and if they say stuff that I don't like, or they say something that may be critical, or that I'm not meeting their needs in a certain way, that hurts. And I want to make them happy, and I want them to go away with that experience. But you know, that's why we have to have these kind of conversations to kind of check ourselves and say, what is it all about again?
So Josh says to take a break. Whether it's a month, someone might say, a month? After a month, my feet are still, you know, it's like I'm a mouse on that, you know, that round thing that you just keep going. And I've been in the machine, quote unquote. Gosh, Josh, we're using, you know, you talk about family business. We're using some pretty, some people might say, well, these are pretty rough analogies that you're using. But you talk about taking a break from the machine of ministry. Man, sometimes it could really feel like that, you know, and it could be a never-ending thing. And someone would say, I need 2 months, or I need more. But I get what you're saying. You're saying, step away. Like Jesus would have, like he told his disciples, come away for a while, right? Come away to pray, detach for a while, get, you know, regrounded, rerooted, as it were, to the reason why you were here in the first place. What about someone who feels the wheels falling off of their life? Or of their own sanity? What do you say at that point?
Oh, man. I think, you know, if someone is right now who's feeling that way, I would say pray. And even if God, it doesn't feel like God's speaking to you, God is. And have hope. I mean, this is the season right now that we are reminded that God came to be with us. And I think you need to talk to somebody. You need to say, even if it's scary, and even if we feel like we're taking a risk and we're sharing things that we don't want anyone else to know about, we need to talk to somebody about it. And I guarantee, because we know those kinds of people, that we have those people in our lives that we can go and talk to, and they will say exactly what the Holy Spirit will be saying. And that's the kind of people that we need to look for. And I think, if the wheels are falling off, you know what? It's going to get better. I promise. It's going to get better. And you're normal, because almost everybody feels that way at some point or another. Whether you're a church leader or you're not a church leader.
I'm nodding my head.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's the thing too, is that for a lot of people, we think that our church leaders, our pastors, our missionaries, they're these superhuman people. And in some ways they are. But really, well, the only thing that makes them special is the Spirit of God. And that is the same Spirit of God that's available to all of us. It's just they're called for something a little different than each of us. But you're in good company if the wheels are about to fall off. And you're the type of person, and I say this kind of jokingly, but seriously, is that the church is probably the most sinful place in the world. And it should be. Because the sinful people are the ones who say that we need God's grace. It's not the holiest place. And I think, you know, for me, a lot of my peers who are not Christians, I'm in a non-Christian setting. When people look at church people, they really think these kind of self-righteous hypocrites, just looking down on them. And yet we miss the opportunity for us to say, you know, I'm just a normal person. I struggle and I need God's grace. Like that, the ragamuffin gospel, you know, Rich Mullins. And when we can do that, I think that can speak to people in a whole different way.
Explain the ragamuffin gospel.
Well, the ragamuffin gospel was written by this man. His name was Brendan Manning. And he writes this incredible book just really about his own struggles. And he says that we are all just ragamuffins. We're just people like beggars going to one another and asking for help and going to God and asking for God's help. And when we are like that, when we ask for God's help and are in a place of humility and a vulnerability. That's when God can really come and move and do something great. You know, I mean, we see that in the Bible all the time, right? David, obviously, you know, Paul, the disciples, Peter. Those are the ones that none of them were had their lives all together. So I think when we, there is something in us so that we feel like we have to be perfect, and at least, or at least appear to be perfect in front of everybody else.
Well, you bring a sigh of relief to someone who, yeah, who feels as though the wheels, metaphorically speaking, are falling off the wagon of their life. Huh? Is it the wagon of your life today? Huh? In the middle of this festive season, this festive occasion, it's like you feel as though, man, the world is going on without you. You feel lonely, heartbroken, confused. Joshua Hayashi says, "Hey, relax. It's going to get better. It's going to get better because of God's grace and God's help." You know, he spends his days doing something he loves. He's among young people. You can hear the pastor's heart emanate from his, ooze out of his voice, as it were. When we come back, how does God take someone who grows up and has to be touched, you know, in a wintry environment at a camp in California, and change that heart to a heart of a person who is going to serve young people at a very critical time in their lives? Very impressionable. Have you been able to look back and think of decisions that you made when you were but a teen? Have you learned lessons from those moments? You might say, "Danny, let's not even go there." Well, I talk about it because I've made mistakes. Have you made mistakes? There's invaluable lessons that come as a result of that, and God is in all of it. When we come back, Joshua Hayashi will share more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm so glad you're with us today. You know, when you have access to people of influence, resources, do you ever wonder what God has in store for you in terms of why you have that, why you're there, why you have certain relationships? Is it just to serve me, just to serve yourself, or is it something bigger than that? Is there a responsibility involved in all that the blessings that God is giving to us? You're listening to Josh Hayashi, and Josh is a chaplain at Punahou School. And in fact, you know, to find out more about this program, you can get this program in its entirety for free. Maybe you're tuning in right now. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and get it in its entirety, okay? Now, Josh, Punahou School, it's a unique place. And you're there with young people. What is it that God has put on your heart to cultivate in them?
Well, that's a great question, Danny. I have to say, when we started the program, I shared a story, then we had to go back. So I'm going to go back first. I'm going to say, first of all, I'm a public school graduate, raised by a single parent, and we struggled middle school, high school, financially. After high school, I went to college and I came back to Hawaii, and I was the at-risk counselor at Eva Beach Elementary School. And that
Papipi
was
Papipi Road.
Papipi Road, yeah. And back then it was a lot of kids that I was working with who were born exposed to crystal meth in utero. So we had a huge special needs population, huge foster care population. And I remember after one particular instance every morning I would go and pick up the kid whose mom or dad was either too high or did not show up. I would go to their house and pick them up and bring the kid to school. And that was part of my routine. And I remember after one particular thing and after we went on strike, I just thought, you know what? I'm not really helping. I'm not really being effective for the kingdom here. What do I do? And then God led me to seminary. And then by some miraculous way, I end up coming to Punahou. And having been a public school graduate, having worked in the DOE, I'm going to Punahou is like a whole different world. And I love it there. And I love the people there. I love what's happening. And I love more than anything else is that people at Punahou know that they are the ones that's going to be hopefully making a difference one day. And public service is a big deal. And so one of the things for me that is so important is for me to have our kids know that it's not just about them. And not just to say that in chapel, but to actually go and take them out into the community, have them meet people. So I've had the incredible privilege to take kids out to the Waianae Coast and work with folks and partners in development, to take kids and actually, talk to homeless people out at Ala Moana Park to work with different great organizations like Family Promise and Partners in Development and Shriners Hospital. And so right now we have a group of eighth graders that we're taking every week over to Shriners Hospital.
You're going to do that today.
I'm going to do that today, right after this. And it's so powerful because, for you know, like for most kids, right? I think most eighth graders in general, you know, it's all about their texting and playing video games and watching TV and sports and their own lives. And very rarely do you meet an eighth grader, whether they're at Punahou or wherever, who is aware that there are actually other people, you know, in their lives, right? And so what's so powerful for me is to go, and when we take these kids out into these experiences, when they go and you see the light turn on, they start off really scared because some of these kids have some obvious physical challenges. But when they're there and you see them get past themselves and go and reach out and start talking and start hanging out and playing. And when they say after, they're just like a normal person, like, boom, that's like magic. And I remember one time what was really powerful, we went to Next Step Shelter, took a group of eighth graders there, and we were doing some volunteer work, and we were doing a debrief after, and one kid said, you know, I felt really bad. He said, because, you know, the volunteer, we're trying to help and be helpful, but the volunteers had to teach us how to do certain chores in the shelter, and so they were showing us, and because we didn't know how to do them ourselves. And you could see his voice and see his heart and see something happening. I mean, I know that, you know, the bulk of the kids that I deal with on a daily basis, you know, most of them will go and do all kinds of different things. And who knows who will come to the Christian faith or not. But I know that at least I need to show them that God loves them and God loves the people around them and God can use them to help make a difference. And that's my hope. Because, I mean, when it comes down to it, I love Hawaii. And not just the Punahou kids, but everybody in between. Hopefully, these things that we do are bringing God's kingdom and made manifest. That's what I'm hoping for.
A few years ago, I took my older boy and my nephew and my brother-in-law. Actually, my brother-in-law's a dentist, and he led the team to lead this mission team. We did some sports, baseball, to the Dominican Republic. And it was good for our children, for our boys, to see how other people live, what the realities are that other people go through. You talked a little bit about responsibility. How important do you feel that is to impress upon growing youngsters?
That's super important. I mean, I think not just to talk about it, but to show them how to do it and to show them that, you know, because more and more our world is getting more like the haves and the have-nots. And so you see people with great wealth and you see people with hardly any wealth at all. And so, you know, the issue is not so much fixing all the problems, but creating relationships with different kinds of people, creating those bridges that our kids can say, you know, like, I can know someone who may be in a different circumstance than me. And hopefully, you know, they would share the same faith, and that would make the bond even stronger, that they would share Jesus. If they share Jesus, that makes the bond even stronger. But if they can create relationships and it's not so scary, then they can start to themselves figure out, what is it that God has called me to do with my life? What is it that I can do to help make a difference? What is it that I can do to serve other people? I think that's the key. I mean, first you got to get them to start thinking and then to start experiencing and doing those kind of things. That I think the youth group trips are great. But I think even just going to your neighbor or to your grandma, or to that family across the street that needs help in some way. I mean, that's something I feel like my family taught me a lot about, was how to go and do that kind of stuff.
One can cultivate the capacities, the development, and then the enlargement of capacities intellectually. But what you're talking about, Josh, is the development of the heart. A heart of compassion, a heart of sensitivity. These are intangibles that make a big difference in what could be the result. What do you feel has been, you know, you do the Easter Seals trip, what is it, every week?
The Shriners. Yeah.
Shriners, yeah. Every week. What do you feel has been the most significant thing that, you know, let's say in the last year, an example of something that has happened that you say, well, that's why we do it?
You know, I think what was really powerful was, a couple things, but I think the big one was Carnival, Punahou Carnival last year. We had a chance to host our friends from Shriners. And our kids, you know, for our kids, you know, Punahou Carnival is a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously. And so we have some special time that they just have by themselves without their parents. They took their time and pushed these kids around in wheelchairs, took them to the games, and then gave their own money for Scrip. And I just thought, this is what is so powerful. You know, because, you know, we can talk about social stuff or compassion, but when they can actually put someone else's needs above their own, like Jesus, then that is something that it's life-changing. And that's what I saw our students do. And they continue to do that.
Exemplary, indeed. But like you say, it's not only something they can do, and it's marvelous that they do it, that you've described it. It's touching. It's also compelling. It's something that we can do too.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps we should push it a little further, Joshua. It's something we must do. And you know what? The Lord God Himself will enable us to do it when we trust Him. Especially during this season of the year, there are people around us that are hurting. If we look closely enough, if we ask God maybe to open our eyes to see what's going on in their heart, what's going on, have they lost a loved one recently, or maybe earlier, or maybe last year. But the remembrance is going to be very strong at this time. Maybe an ailment. Maybe something that you know of. You can reach them. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waihua dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
You're
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
He's the chaplain at Punahou School. His wife, Charity, is a librarian at Kamehameha Schools, Kapalama campus. And he's here sharing heart to heart. If you're tuning in right now, you got to get this program in its entirety because we've really peeled off a lot of some pretty heavy stuff.
Yep.
Talking about life and responsibility and leadership, Christian leadership, all kinds of stuff. But there's some gems that he's left through the program. You can get the program again at thegoodlifehawaii.com. How did you meet, Josh, you and Charity?
Well, this is a great story. We met in college. We're both at Bethel College in Indiana. And we were working at this coffee shop together. And I'll be honest, like, we were both working there. But the head manager, he promoted my wife to be in charge, the assistant manager. And I did not like that. But we're at this staff meeting, and she was saying, you know, I need to get this day off because my friend, who's Amish, is getting married, and I need to go. And I was like, you know, being from here, I'm like, Amish, like, whoa, that's like so crazy and so different and so unusual. And so I started talking. I said, well, do you need a ride? She goes, yeah, I need a ride. So it was out in the country. And I, you know, to be honest, I just wanted to, like, taste the food, right? Because Amish cooking is supposed to be really good. I mean, she was nice and all, but I didn't like her because she was my boss. But so I get this car, borrow this car from my friend, and we drive out. And I kind of did not realize how long of a drive it was going to be. But I do remember when I went to go and pick her up, and she was coming out of her dorm room into the hallway, and I was outside, and she was wearing this red dress. And I just remember thinking, this is the one that I'm going to marry. It was kind of great, first date. And so we drive out into the country, and it was like all this stuff was going on, but I only just could focus on her. And so we started dating seriously. And
how was the food?
The food was good. Yeah, it was really interesting because you know, for the Amish, they're really low-key people. So the bride and groom and the party served everyone food.
They
the ones who served, and they had been preparing the food for everybody. So it's really good food, but it was their humility. That was really powerful to see that. And the only thing that the bride wore that made her a little different was she wore her same regular clothes, but a little white apron. That was the only thing that distinguished her as the bride. So it was almost all Amish people, and it was me. And people were looking at me. I was looking at them. I was like, well, this is such a trip. But my wife and we've been married now. This is our 13th year. And she is working at Kamehameha School is Kapalama. And when she first got the job, or when she said she was going to get the job, my kids, you know, they both attend Punahou. So they're like, what? You're going to work for the enemy? We all started laughing. I'm like, no, it's not Iolani. I'm just joking. But no, we love it. And
I'm rubbing my ribs right now. You mentioned that Charity has a Mennonite background.
Yeah.
Right? What's the difference? Explain Mennonite, explain Amish.
Oh, yeah, okay. So Charity's grandparents were Amish, but Mennonite is a much bigger group. And there are Mennonites that, you know, most of them are in the American Midwest, in Canada, and they are people who are really about peace.
Mm.
And so Charity's parents were the conscientious objectors in Vietnam. They went and did alternative service. And both of them did. They both served the poor in different kind of places. Charity's dad was a Mennonite pastor. And they're really just, you know, good, quiet, humble people. You know, they love each other. They're really strong into community. They love the Lord. Amazing singing. I went to go and visit their church. It was four-part harmony. That was a cappella, and it was just really amazing. And they have these close family ties. Charity's the only one in her extended family that's not in like a Mennonite area.
Mm.
And so I'm very thankful that she has come to live here with me in Hawaii.
She also went with you to to Regent University.
Regent College.
Regent College. Yeah. In Vancouver, yeah. Right?
So we lived in Vancouver, BC for 6 years. After I was in the DOE, we went up there and went to seminary. And I was working in a church. We're right in downtown Vancouver, right in the middle of the city. And I was a minister to youth and young adults. And we led this, part of it was, I was overseeing a ministry that fed homeless teens in the city. And it was such an amazing experience. And I remember a few times, what that ministry did is that we would host a meal every Saturday night for homeless teens and young people. And they'd come and we'd sit together and we'd chat and we'd cook food for them. And I remember one time, and this was really powerful. It really showed me God's hand. I was having a real rough time. It was just maybe a stressful time at work. I don't remember exactly what was going on, but I'm sitting at this table with these young people who, some of them were homeless, some of them were coming off of drugs, all kinds of stuff. And one of them asked me, "You look so stressed out. What's going on?" And I remember thinking, well, first I said, "Oh yeah," and I just started complaining about all this stuff. And I felt like God was saying, "You know, I'm God. You know, that person is ministering to you right now." And I just remember that just being like blown away about that. Like, you know, I was the minister, right? I was the one who was in charge of the ministry. I'm the one supposed to be encouraging these people. And yet God flipped it around. And he showed me, I'm the one who's in charge, not you. And allowed me to receive this grace of time and love. That was really powerful.
The Lord spoke to you at that moment. What would you say today? Maybe a scripture. But what is the Lord saying to Joshua Hayashi right now in this season in your life?
I think right now it really is trusting the Lord with all your heart. And, you know, there's kind of a lot of things we're trying to figure out right now. I have little kids. My wife's position will be up in a year. We're trying to figure out how do we do life here? How do we afford tuition and how do we afford to stay here and see like it, you know, I think that we're just trying to be faithful and trying to walk with what we know God has called us to do, even if we don't know what's going to happen next. I think that's the scary part.
Hey, I think a lot of people are there in a very real way. I'm there. You know, what's next? The question of what's next. Maybe there's an element of faith there where we go in this realm of suspended animation. But what has the Lord shown you about that? I'm sure it'll minister to me and minister to our dear listener.
Well, at this point, you know, I think about that story about Moses and at the Red Sea. And when he and the Israelites and they just escape out of Egypt, they get there. They're at the shore, and then they look in the back and they see the cloud from the chariots just come on up. And they turn to Moses and the people say, "Did you bring us out here to die?" And Moses goes to God, and says, "God, what's going on here?" And then God tells Moses, "I already told you. Put your foot into the sea and take the next step." I mean, I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the thing, is that God, for me, right now, is calling me to be faithful and keep on moving, even if I don't know what's happening next. I guess that's not the best way to put it. I don't really know. I'm like super scared. And because usually I want to have control over what is happening next. I want to at least have a picture. And I want to at least, you know, have some kind of sense of expectation. But I feel like at this point, God is just saying, trust me, you don't know, but every step forward I've called you to take. I feel like that's what's happening. And then somehow maybe the Red Sea is going to part. We'll see.
What if Moses didn't step? That's an interesting question, huh? If we always assume that, well, he did step, obviously. But what if he didn't step? And what if we stop moving? would God move in the way that He is planning to move? I just kind of toss that around in my mind as we share, as you have been so gracious, Joshua, to share heart to heart with us, and setting an example of one who continues to step. And your heart is a real treasure. You set that example, and I would say, hey, let me link arms with you, and you link arms with me, dear brother, and let's step, even though we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Take that next step. And dear brother, dear sister, as you are with us today, can we link arms with you? Whatever it might be.
Yes.
Whatever God has before you, that may be just perhaps even just an impression that you sense. You might not know for sure, but can we together take another step and keep moving by faith, trusting the Lord, who is with us right now.
Amen.
Can we do that? Hey, let's do it together, okay? And Josh, thank you for being with us, man.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful that you have taken this time out of your schedule to share with each of us today. Thank you so much. Dear one, I hope you've been encouraged by the story of Joshua Hayashi. You know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation there for you. And to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. John 6:40 says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Josh Hayashi. Until next time, along with my technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.